Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Amen? So a lot in this passage that we could dig out. We're going to dig three specific pieces of truth out this morning and apply them to the lives. And the first piece of truth is this, that God, from the beginning, throughout his word, including here in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, God used and uses faithful people to proclaim the good news of Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. God used here and uses today faithful people to proclaim the good news of Jesus. So here's the situation. Jesus has not been born yet. Mary is not pregnant yet. It's a few months before that's going to happen. But God is working miraculously then and there, prior to Jesus' birth, to bring about the man who would go before Jesus and preach to the masses and say that the Messiah, the Lord, is coming. Repent of your sin. Turn back to the Lord. That would be this baby that is conceived within Elizabeth. His name would be known as John the Baptist. God is preparing the way. In order to do that, he is going to use faithful people to do that. Namely, the father and the mother of John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And look at the first things we learn about them, verses 5 through 7. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and his wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. So they were righteous before God. And no, there is, and we need to recognize this. There's a distinct difference between being righteous before men and being righteous before God. Generally speaking, if there is a difference in an individual's life, it is their character. They have the people around them fooled. They put on a show. They feed their own pride. They work for the approval of men. And it appears that they are righteous to the men around them. But that is not the case for Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Word, God's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Luke wrote, they were righteous before God. And he goes on to say, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. So the idea here is not that they were perfect. It's that they lived in obedience to the Lord. And when they failed to obey the Lord, they repented and sought forgiveness from the Lord. That should characterize the life of the Christ follower. We don't expect that we're never going to sin again, but we expect that when the Lord points out our sin, we will bow before Him and confess our sin and depend on His forgiveness. And He is faithful to forgive us. Praise God. And so we see that they were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Psalm 119:1 says this, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. They were faithful. Zechariah and Elizabeth, not perfect, but as we will see in the life of Zechariah, they weren't perfect, but they were faithful. And God chose them to be used to prepare the nation of Israel for the coming Messiah. But, look at verse 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. So, this sets a stage that has been set before in God's Word. Saw it in the life of Abraham and Sarah. She was barren beyond the years of childbearing. Unable to have a child, never did, was promised a son. And here we have a similar situation. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they have yearned, like many couples, yearned for the day that they would find out she was pregnant, and it never came. And now they are past the point where she would become pregnant, advanced in years. And this is not only a tragedy for their family, but it was a tragedy culturally. It was even looked upon as a curse. A man by the name of Barclay comments on this. He's a scholar. And he says, some Jewish rabbis said that seven types of people were excommunicated from God. And the list began this way. A Jew who had no wife. And then, second, a Jew who had a wife but had no child. Culturally, not biblically, culturally, it was looked upon as a curse. And so these people, and this is important for us to realize, teenagers, this is huge for you to realize. These two people that were used by God to eventually bring about the good news of Jesus were faithful, but they were not popular. They were faithful, but they were not in the in crowd. They were not favored by men and women that they lived among. They were looked at with pity, maybe even some with judgment. And so we see here, and it's imperative that we see this, that God used faithful, not popular, not influential, but faithful people to bring about the good news of Jesus. And this was the first thing that Theophilus saw about the account of Jesus and his life. And it's the first thing that we see as God's people today when we open up the Gospel of Luke. God used faithful people to proclaim his good news. So let's think about this for a second. Last week we prayed and began praying, I hope, as individuals and as a church, that God would make us more certain and more passionate about the good news of Jesus, and that God would use us to lead others to become more certain and more passionate about the good news of Jesus. And we see here that the people that God uses to do that are faithful people. And so students, whether you're in elementary school, middle school, high school, wherever you land on the spectrum, going to college eventually, you want to be used by God. You want to see God move in your friends' lives, in your family's lives. You want to see God maybe move in a way in your school system that he has never done before. The pathway to being used by God to do that is not popularity, it's faithfulness to him. And so be faithful day in, day out to your Lord, and he will use you. We could say the same thing for parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, anybody that has influence over children. It's not to be their favorite person in the world, though you may be by definition because you're a grandparent, but it's to be faithful to the Lord. That's the first step in being used by him in their life to announce the good news of Jesus to them. Maybe in the place where you work, in your friends and in your family, you're a church member and you just want to be used by God to make disciples who will make disciples for his glory. It's not to find the best way, the most easy way to announce the gospel to those people. It is to first be faithful and walk with your Lord. If we want to be used by God, in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our community here in Cairo and Grady County or wherever you're from, that is the first step, faithfulness to him. Not influence among our peers, but faithfulness to God. You with me so far? All right. So God used and uses today faithful people to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Now look, as the story continues, as the historical account continues, we see that God, in the lives of those faithful people he chooses to use, he works miraculously in those people's lives. Look, Elizabeth was barren. She was beyond childbearing years. And an angel appears to Zechariah. So verses 8 through 17, we see several things that are done by God. First, Zechariah is chosen out of thousands of priests to be the one who goes into the temple and burns incense. He had the opportunity to be chosen 1 week out of every year. It was that week, and out of thousands of other men who are priests, he was chosen. He gets in there. He is following his priestly duties, and an angel appears to him. And so, once again, we see the miraculous happening in the life of Zechariah. And the angel announces to him that you and your wife, who are beyond childbearing years, are going to have a son. And your son is going to be used by God to go before the Savior of the world, to prepare the hearts of his people for his coming. So this was a big day for Zechariah. He is chosen to serve in the temple, which may or may not happen in his lifetime. And then he gets in the temple and he sees a vision of an angel who speaks to him and tells him that his barren wife, who's beyond childbearing years, is going to have a baby. And not just any baby, but a son who will announce the arrival of the Lord, that the Messiah that Israel has been waiting for is actually coming and coming soon. And his son is going to be the one who announces it. It's a big day. A miraculous day. And that is the way that God worked in their lives. And notice, and think about it for a second before we move on. This is consistent throughout God's word. We can think about the people in the Old Testament that were used by God. God consistently worked miraculously in their lives, whether it was changing things physically or spiritually or the hearts of people to him. He was working miraculously in the lives of those people. We see it in the New Testament, in the life of Peter. We see God use him to perform miracles. We see God use him to preach the gospel. And as he preached the gospel, people who did not know the Lord, repented of their sins, believed in Jesus Christ, and were saved. Miraculous. Over and over again. The same thing in the life of Paul. And then we see it throughout church history, and we should be able to see it today. That those who are living in a way that as enemies of God would turn from their ways, turn from their sin, repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and be saved. That is a miracle. The fact that he would use a timid people whose disposition, like me, is fearful when it comes to sharing the gospel, that he would use us to share the gospel with those people, then he would work mightily in their hearts to turn them from their sin to himself. Miraculous. He does it, and he's consistent to do that. He works miraculously in the lives of the people he uses. And first, those people are faithful to him. But there's something that we need to see about this miraculous work in the lives of those people that he uses. It challenges their faith. I want you to look. My Bible's been turning pages without me. I want you to look at verses 18. Just start with 18. And look at Zechariah's response to the news that the angel is giving him. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Let's pause right there for a second. Zechariah should have caught on to the thing by now. He's heard, he knows, he's a priest. He knows the Old Testament like the back of his hand. He knows that this is how God works at times, that he can work in a miraculous way that the barren woman would conceive. He knows this. He's seen it in the Word over and over again. He's probably taught it, yet he still stands in unbelief. He says, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I was sent to speak to you." It's as if Gabriel is saying to Zechariah, "Okay, if just the events so far are not enough for you, let me continue. I was sent to you to bring you this good news, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." So Zechariah was a faithful man who walked blamelessly with the Lord. And when the Lord began to work in his life in a miraculous way to use him to announce the good news of Jesus, his faith still faltered. So that should be an encouragement to us, one. And two, notice that when God used this man, he required the man to believe him. If we're going to be used by God, we are going to have to take God at his word. That he is with us. That his word is true. That he can change the heart of the hardest sinner. And he will give us the words to say when we proclaim his gospel to that sinner. And so as he works miraculously in the lives of the people he uses, he requires of those people an increasing faith. A faithful man who walked blamelessly with the Lord still had to have greater faith in the Lord as he continued to follow the Lord. And the same is true of me and you. We can come to these pews and sit down and sing. Oh, what glorious singing this morning, by the way. Like, I could hear the congregation singing this morning. We can sing together, but if we want to be used by God, we can expect to be put in situations where it's going to stretch our faith, where we have to depend on him more and more. Just like Zechariah. Notice the grace that God extended him through Gabriel. Any number of ways he could have shown him that his words were true, he chose to make him mute, which is slightly humorous. You're not going to be able to speak until your son is born. Frustrating, but humorous. But he could have done so many other things, or he could have done nothing at all. But God chose to use Gabriel to give Zechariah a sign so that his faith would increase. What grace from our Lord. So we can expect, whether we're teenagers or our parents or grandparents or friends or co-workers in the lives of the people that God is using us to reach, we can expect that when God does that, he will put us in positions where we will be nervous and we will be tempted to not believe that he's going to work in a way that he's told us he's going to. But he will. He will. Our call to be faithful and then to believe the Lord at his word. God uses faithful people to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and he works miraculously in the lives of those people. And finally, God worked in these two ways to announce the good news of Jesus. Notice what Zechariah says about the baby that would be born. Not Zechariah, Gabriel, the angel. Look at verse 13. It says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him." That is, before the Lord. He will be his forerunner. "In the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." So, Gabriel's message to Zechariah is loaded. You're going to have a son. Your barren wife, beyond years of childbearing, is going to have a son. She's going to conceive. And that son is going to be the one who goes before the Lord, prepares the hearts of people for his arrival. And so in the grand scheme of things that God is doing in our world, then and there in the life of Zechariah, he was using Zechariah to bring about the good news of Jesus. And if you'll flip over later on into chapter 1, verse 64, when Zechariah, after John the Baptist is born, Zechariah recognizes the fact that when his son is coming, that means Jesus is coming next. Though he doesn't know his name, he knows the Messiah from the Lord is coming next. Someone that would come from God, that would be able to save people from their sin. When he can finally speak, this is what he says, verse 68 of chapter 1. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of his enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God." So as big of a deal that he was going to have a son was, and as big of a deal that his wife was beyond childbearing years and she was going to be the one that conceived his son, as big of a deal that wasn't the biggest deal to Zechariah when it all came down to it. Whenever he soaked it all in, what he discovered was that his son was going to be the one that prepared the way for the one who would save the world, Jesus. And this is what we need to see here. That God used a faithful person to bring about the good news, and he worked miraculously in that faithful person to bring about the good news. And the reason he was doing all that was to bring about the good news of Jesus. That there would be a servant from God who would come and live the life that people were supposed to live in righteousness before God, perfectly and holy on their behalf. And then take their death on the cross in their place sacrificially. And then 3 days later, conquer sin, death, and suffering by walking out of the grave victoriously. And we know from the rest of the New Testament that those who place faith in Jesus, repent of their sins, will be saved. And we know that as a church, that is our job to proclaim. And we know from this passage that if we are going to do that, we must walk faithfully with the Lord, expect him to work miraculously in our life, and be ready for him to stretch our faith as he gives us opportunities to share the good news of his Son. So, Christian, are you struggling with the belief that the Lord will use you? Are you struggling with the belief that if you step out in faith, that he may or may not be there to hold you up? Take it from Luke chapter 1, he will. He is stretching you on purpose, and he wants to use you to announce the good news, and you will get to see him work in miraculous ways in your own heart and in the hearts of others if you will walk obediently to him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you read these words and you see the miracles in God's word and you hear about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and you are simply unsure. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would make you sure, and my prayer is that he would use this church to help you along that path. Perhaps you need to come and pray and ask the Lord to increase your faith this morning as a Christian. Maybe you just need to take a step towards Jesus and come and ask someone to pray with and for you and walk with you in the Word to help you understand exactly who Jesus is. We want you to know, and we want you to have a relationship with him. He died for you and rose from the dead, conquering death for you. However you need to respond this morning, I'm going to encourage you to follow the Holy Spirit and respond. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. First and foremost, in our time of Thanksgiving, beginning this week, we thank you for sending Jesus to us. Not simply sending him, but sending him in a way that he humbled himself, putting himself below us in the place of a servant to live the life we should have, died the death we deserved, and then conquered death on behalf of those who would place faith in him. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that we get to sing your praises as your children because of that. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us, and we ask in Jesus' name that he would lead us this morning as we finish our time here and even as we leave and go about our own ways. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Know that if the Lord's working on your heart, Christian or somebody that's here that's not certain of who Jesus is, know that he is not limited to this time or place, so don't try to limit him. If he's working on you, get aside with the word or grab one of us. We'd love to pray with him for you and walk you through the word.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ whose birth